they were not allowed to dream about what they want to be when they grow up. What do I want to do for fun? It was very much laid out for them. This is what you have. This is who you are. You know, be obedient, be quiet, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. And just have children, and I'm going to have other wives, and you're just going to deal with it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a bonus edition of Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast. You did not even know this was coming, and it's going to be so good. We are talking about some really important things here today. These are things that are happening right under your nose, and it's also something that you can make a difference with. We're talking about life after polygamy, and you may hear that and think, what? Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, we've seen it firsthand. So I'm Ginger Stocky, along with my friends Aaron Cluley and Jay, and we're here to talk it out with you today. And our friend Rachel Athern is here with us today.
Hi,
hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Many of our friends already know you because you joined us before. Rachel is on our list of favorite people, which we have a long list of favorite people because there are so many wonderful ladies around here. But Rachel and I recently had the opportunity to go with our Hand of Hope media team to see what is happening in one particular place in the United States where there is incredible need, especially for women and girls. And you've probably seen this on the news. This was a very sensational news piece when a polygamous cult leader named Warren Jeffs was arrested and sent to prison. And they began to see the destructive power that he had, not only among his family, which included 70 plus wives, and they don't really even know exactly how many, all of the children, but his tentacles spread all the way into the city and this entire town in Utah, right on the Utah-Arizona border, and just devastated so many lives. So our Project Girl initiative is all about helping women and girls all over the world. But this is another one of those opportunities right here in the United States to really make a difference. So we want to talk more about it, but what we really want to share is the heart behind what we saw and what women and girls are dealing with in this situation, but so much bigger than that. All over the world, right here in the U.S., this was a situation where this one man asserted complete control over this community and especially over the women and the children who had very, very little to say about what was happening. So it was not only a controlling type of abuse because it was very manipulative. He's in jail now for sexual assault of a child, of a minor. But it was also religious abuse because it was called the FLDS, which is the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. It's a outbreak, I guess, of the Mormon Church. And so these people were told that this man was the prophet, that basically he was their God. Mm. He heard from God. He knew things about them because God would tell him. So we had this undue control over all of them. But as Rachel and I and our team were there, we had the opportunity to work with the Short Creek Dream Center, which is working with Project Girl and Joyce Meyer Ministries to help all of these women and children because of the great needs that they have now that this man has been pulled out. But they're using the site, which is a miracle in itself, of this man's former home. Mm. So it's a very, very large home. It has 40-some bedrooms, a bathroom with everyone because he had such a large family.
Multiple kitchens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as we were walking around, Rachel, I know you had to feel this way. I just felt like, can this get any more depraved? It was just one step after the next of finding out how bad this situation was.
Yeah, it was like peeling back the layers on an onion, kind of. It's just like layer after layer of evil.
Walking into secret rooms where there were tunnels and hidden things, cameras everywhere.
It sounds like a movie.
It does, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds unreal.
Like, that's not real life.
Yeah. It just sounds unreal.
And there have been a lot of documentaries about it because of that exact thing. Mm-hmm. Going into a room where he had the ability to read everyone's email, to hear everyone's phone calls, where everything was tapped.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's just astounding. So you can imagine the hurt and the devastation of many of these people who really had no choice. They were born into this sect, this cult.
Do they understand that that's not right and that's not how your life is supposed to live? Or is it normal to them?
I don't get that impression until they get to a certain point. I mean, it is how life is for them, especially if they were raised in that situation.
Right. Yeah.
And talking with these women, you know, they would get to a point in their teens where they would be assigned a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that would be their husband. And one woman said it so beautifully. She said, how are you supposed to trust and fall in love with the man who is your rapist?
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
Because essentially you're given to this man as a minor, as a child, and that's your life. And then if anything went wrong with anybody, Warren Jeffs had the ability to say, this is not your husband anymore. I want this to be your husband. You're going to go to this family now. We talked to one young girl named Liddy, 16 years old. And for whatever reason, she was just a strong young woman. Mm-hmm. And she knew, she began telling her mom at about age 12, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not what we should be doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to respect that coming from a 12-year-old. Because these women were told to what they called keep sweet, where they weren't ever allowed to share their real feelings, ever show that anything's wrong, ever disagree with anything. They had to keep sweet or they would be punished. Mm. So for Liddy to speak out and say, this is not what I want, and I'm going to run away, Mom, if you don't help me. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where this young girl said, I can't live like this. Yeah. So the mom, facing this life or death situation of her child, did leave and took her children with her. And you think of the bravery of these women to stand up and do this. And some were held against their will. Many, many were raped and abused.
And it's not just, you know, I mean, they're stepping out into something completely new. I mean, the outside world, they've been completely isolated from the outside world, you know. And so they're not only leaving just that, you know, taking themselves out of that situation, they're bringing their, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12 children. So you have a lot of single moms in this area as well. And so it was just sad.
They don't know how to survive outside of this world. And so there's so much that we can do as Project Girl and coming in and working together with the Short Creek Dream Center, which is an amazing place. Mm-hmm. But it's very slow. It's very, you have to be very careful in this work because we can't come in and just start throwing God around and saying, here's your answer. Right. Because the God that they've known was not who God really is. So it comes down to just loving them and being there for them and caring for them and meeting those physical needs, education, and all of those other things first. So that's really where they're seeing the difference.
Yeah, it is. I was talking to a girl named Ada, and she was very much in the middle of the program. And it was so cool because we were with her the day before and we were watching some of the women do the equine therapy because they have different outlets to be able to help process different things. And
all the trauma and the crisis.
Yeah, all the trauma.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
And so she was telling me, she was saying, you know, I found myself crying on that horse because I couldn't even remember what I liked to do because she was taught, like the other women, many of the other women, I am a baby making machine. I'm supposed to have a baby a year and, you know, everything that comes with that. And so, you know, that was their only purpose. They were not allowed to dream about what they want to be when they grow up. What do I want to do for fun? It was very much laid out for them. This is what you have. This is who you are. You know, be obedient, be quiet, you know, things like that. And just have children and I'm going to have other wives and you're just going to deal with it and this is normal. And so to see her have that moment where you might think, you know, is the horse really going to help someone? You know, but she had this breakthrough where she said, you know, I loved horses. They brought me so much joy as a teenager. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. And that moment, I remembered that. And so I don't know what else is next for me, but right now I'm just going to focus on this will bring me joy. So I'm going to go back to the horses.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was really cool. Special.
Warren Jeffs took all the toys away from this mm-hmm. entire town. They took all the children's toys and they got rid of them. It's just a decision he made one day. They were told what to wear. They were told what to eat. And so after all this was over, Brielle is an amazing young woman who actually went to court and got this house and said, we all need so much healing and mm-hmm. began working with the Dream Center to make it a place of healing instead of a place of crisis and abuse. But she said, at first you sit down to order at a restaurant and you think, I don't even know what I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what I like to eat. And entire new way of thinking for all of these women and all of these children coming up in this. It's such an important time for them to have the real example of who Jesus is, his love, his freedom, you know, his grace instead of that thumb of control.
Yeah, that was going to be my question to you, like how receptive are they now that they don't have this overarching, you know, person telling them what to eat, what to wear, what to like even their perception about God and like what is the tone? What's the temperature there?
It's a long road for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy transition, but mm-hmm. what we mm-hmm. are seeing is in time they begin to talk about these people who are helping us now are so different mm-hmm. than what we were ever told God was.
That's good. Oh, wow. Yeah. So they're seeing it acted out.
Exactly. They're seeing the love of God being acted out in
practical,
obvious ways. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Instead of just being handed a list of rules to live by.
Yeah, I loved what one of the directors said. You know, we're here to redeem the word church, because right now it's such a negative thing. It's a symbol of abuse for a lot of the women. And so just having this be a marathon and not a sprint, you know, it's really mm-hmm. necessary because I would say we are there for the long haul. Yeah. You know, it's going to take time for these women. Yeah.
And I just believe that so many people that are probably watching this can identify, even though, like mm-hmm. you said, like they may not have come from communities of polygamy. Mm-hmm. But I've said this so many times that so much of my adult life, I've been unlearning what I was learned, mm-hmm. I was learned, what I was taught, like what I've learned over the years. And so many people that have experienced negative experiences in church or in different, you know, family situations where you have to like really unlearn it mm-hmm. and it's a process. Mm-hmm. So for me, although I have no idea what these women have experienced, I still personally can identify with like what that process could feel mm-hmm. like on the level that I'm, you know, like, that takes
how
a lot.
It relates to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us in any situation that we hear about, whether it be nationally, like in the United States or internationally, is for us to like take a step back and say like, man, like how can I identify with mm-hmm. this in different ways? Because that's where empathy grows, where you can say like, man, this, it's gotta be tough. And how can I make a difference? Mm-hmm. And how can I, you know, partner with something like Project Girl to help these women right here in my country? Mm-hmm. It's important to do that. So
I was talking to one of the women who is so amazing. She's a chaplain there now, but she once was one of those women who was living at the house getting the help because of the horrible situation she'd been in. When she was a child in this cult, her mother died and their whole family was told, don't cry. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't show any grief and we're not going to talk about mm-hmm. her again. Mm. And she had such trauma in her life going through all of this. And then when she had the opportunity to see who Jesus really was, and how he loved her in a completely mm-hmm. different way. Mm-hmm. It changed her life. And so now she is the chaplain there, one of the chaplains there, sharing that mm-hmm. with That's those so women. Mm-hmm. So they can respect it from her because she's been there. She's yeah. one of them. She's seen the difference that it makes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can all make a difference. And as women, we got to stand together because God wants to do so mm-hmm. much in their lives, mm-hmm. but he wants to do it in our lives too. And mm-hmm. that's why he lets us all mm-hmm. be part of it together. Yeah. So if everybody would love to be a part of this, if you go to joycemeyer.org/GivingTuesday, this is the perfect opportunity on Giving Tuesday to make a gift toward Project Girl to help women and girls, not only exactly where we're talking about, but all over the world, and even getting that message to people just like you who need to know how loved and valued you are. And the hope and the future that God has for you, this is what we're all about. Mm-hmm. So be a part of it with us. We would love to hear from you today. Giving Tuesday, it's the perfect day to give and to make a difference for somebody else. Thank you all. We appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you guys for sharing. So happy to be a part of something that's making such
yeah.
a difference. So.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really hard to hear those stories. And yeah. sometimes it's easier to just pretend that they don't happen. But we need to know what's happening and also the amazing opportunity we get to be a part of. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks
Thank
for being
you.
With us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Thank you all for joining us for this bonus episode. We'll see you next time.